It's not hard to see, only you can satisfy.
There's honey in the rock. 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 Freedom, where the spirit is, bounty. In the wilderness, you will always satisfy. There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you've got. There's honey in the rock, purpose in your plan, power in the blood, healing in your hands. Started flowing when you said it is done. Everything you did's enough. There's honey in the rock.
Keep looking, I keep finding. You keep giving, keep providing. I have all that I need. You are all that I need. I keep praying, you keep moving. I keep praising.
Looking, I keep finding, you keep giving, keep providing.
I have all that I need. You are all that I need.
I keep praying, you keep moving. I keep praising, you keep proving.
I have all that I need. You are all that I need. All that I need, you are all that I need.
There's honey in the rock, water in the stone, manna on the ground, no matter where I go. I don't need to worry now that I know everything I need you've got. There's honey in the rock, purpose in your plan, power in the blood, healing in your hands. Started flowing when you said it is done. Everything you did's enough. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock. There's honey in the rock.
Trust in you, Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus. Oh, how sweet it is to trust in you, Jesus.
Amen.
Miracles when you move, such an easy thing for you to do. Your hand is moving right now. You are still showing up at the tomb of every Lazarus. Your voice is calling me out. Right now, I know you're able. My God, come through again. You can do all things. You can do all things, but fail. 'Cause you never lost a battle. No, you never lost a battle. And I know, Everything's possible by the power of the Holy Ghost. A new wind is blowing right now, breaking my heart of stone, taking over like it's Jericho. And my walls are all crashing down. Right now, I know you're able. My God, come through again. And you can do all things. You can do all things, but fail, because you never lost the battle. No, you never lost the battle. And I know, you never will. You can do all things. You can do all things, but fail, because you never lost the battle. No, you never lost the battle. And I know, you never will. No, you never lost the battle.
Never lost the battle.
You never lost the battle.
Never lost the battle.
You never lost the battle.
Never lost the battle.
You never will.
You never will.
No, you never lost the battle.
Never lost the battle.
You never lost the battle.
Never lost the battle.
No, you never lost the battle.
Never lost the battle.
You never will.
You never will.
No, you never lost the battle.
You never lost the battle.
No, you never lost the battle.
Never lost the battle.
Lord, you never lost the battle.
Never lost the battle.
You never will.
You never will.
But you can do all things. And you can do all things, but fail, cause you never lost the battle. No, you never lost the battle. And I know, you never will. You can do all things. You can do all things, but fail, because you never lost the battle. No, you never lost the battle. And I know, never will. No, you never lost the battle.
Never lost the battle.
You never lost the battle.
Never lost the battle.
You never lost the battle.
Never lost the battle.
You never will.
You never will.
No, you never lost the battle.
Never lost the battle.
You never lost the battle.
Never lost the battle.
You never lost the battle.
Never lost the battle.
You never will.
You never will.
Man, he's never lost a battle. Our Lord is truly undefeated. Amen.
Beyond all measure, that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory.
God. This time we'll have the ushers come collect the morning offering. Heavenly Father.
Well, good morning. Welcome to the early service. I hope everybody is awake and alert here this morning. Some of you may be aware, but some of you may be not aware of the fact that today is Life Word Sunday. And so in 3 weeks, Brother Donnie Parrish is going to come and speak at our church. So in 3 weeks, just be praying about it, but we're going to take up an offering to send to the ministry called Life Word. And what they do is they take And they're setting up different ways to reach unreached people groups with the gospel. One of the ways that they do that is they build these radio towers kind of out in the middle of nowhere. What they've found is that not everybody has running water or different things like that, but a lot of them do have radios that they can pick up radio waves on. So they're broadcasting messages with the gospel to these unreached people groups. And so as I was praying through what I wanted to cover today, I was kind of back and forth because there's been this theme in my head. I don't know if any of you have been following it or not, or if you felt it, but I've really been paying close attention to the question, is this the end of the world? Is it coming up? Anybody else kind of like researching that, kind of studying that? Maybe you feel like it's getting close. One of the things that I think of is, I think every generation that has ever lived have thought, this is it. This is the time. This is when it's going to happen. But I'm not going to focus on any specifics today. Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to paint a picture of something that happens all throughout the Old Testament, something that the Old Testament and the New Testament talk about, which is the day of the Lord. That's what this message is titled. That's what the theme is, what we should expect, what we should be doing in preparation for that. So basically an overview of the day of the Lord is it's God's final act in the creation account to bring about his new creation in a big final day of judgment. It's basically what the day of the Lord is. God created all things, and at the end of it, all things are going to come to an end, and he is going to set up his final reign and kingdom here on this earth. And it's mentioned as the day of the Lord. And we're going to get into a couple passages in it, but it is found all throughout Scripture. It's alluded to in the Old Testament and the New Testament. But before we can get to that, we're going to start off with point number one. I'm going to take you through kind of the history of humanity. The first point, if you're taking notes, the story of creation. Story of creation. So, most of you are probably very familiar with this story. Most of you have probably heard it before, but for some of you, this may be your first time hearing an overview quite like this. But in the beginning, God created humans to dwell in his presence alongside the angels. The angels were there as well. We were meant to be one big family. Harmony, unity, and throughout the entire thing. God created us especially to be recognized as his children. But it didn't take very long for something to be messed up. You see, Adam and Eve were disobedient. They ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And one of the things that I would say to summarize all of our human experience is that God's law is very important. We all have laws. Laws are put in place to bring about a civilized society. We have laws in the state of Missouri. We have laws in the United States. We may not agree with them all, but they're there to shape and direct our behavior. In a similar way, God's laws are there to guide us and shape our behavior, tell us good from evil. And I believe that whenever Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, they introduced humanity to God's laws. After that point, we all became subject to the knowledge of good and evil. They introduced that into our society. And as soon as that happened, evil began to flourish on planet Earth. You see it, the first account of people outside of Adam and Eve were Cain and Abel. Cain broke the law. He murdered his brother. And you see evil just spreading as more and more law begins to be broken. And if you know about a law, if you break a law, what happens? Usually you receive some sort of ticket or jail time or something like that. But when you break God's law, There's no currency that can pay for that. You can't break God's law, which is a sin, and bring out a $100 bill and say, "Here you go, Lord. I'm sorry. This is the exchange." So instead, God brought about this system of sacrifice. It takes blood to cover the sins of people. When you break the law, there has to be punishment. God is a God of love, but he is also a God of justice. So no sin goes unpunished. Sin became so great in the world that Scripture describes humanity in Genesis 6 as the evil of their hearts was just continuously evil. All their thoughts were bent around evil. So God sent a flood and restarted humanity with just six people. And you would think that humanity would learn their lesson from there, but they did not. You see, God commanded them to go out into all the earth, spread out over all the earth and subdue it, to make all the earth just like the Garden of Eden, to make all the earth know that God is the Father and that he is the one who is holding all things together and that all people should come to a knowledge of him. But instead, what humanity did once again was disobeyed God, disobeyed his laws, and they decided instead of spreading out, they're going to stay put right where they're at, and they're going to build a tower. What was that tower called? Feedback this morning, you awake? What was the tower called? Babel, the Tower of Babel. See, God came down in that moment, and he confused all of their languages. And if you read Deuteronomy 32:8, he also divided the nations. And you might even say God disinherited the nations. They were no longer part of God's plan for humanity. Instead, he would choose a new nation to bring about the final day of the Lord. Now, if we were choosing people to start a nation, almost like an NBA draft or an NFL draft, and you're choosing the best players, you probably would not have chosen the person that God chose. He chose a man named Abram. Out of all the people in the world, he chose Abram. Now, Abram was really old. He had a wife that was really old who could not have children. She was beyond that point. And God chose Abraham and said, "I'm going to bless you. And through your offspring, I'm going to bless all the nations of the world." Now, we're talking about 4,000 years ago. This promise to Abraham has had an unbroken chain, and it affects us today. God's story of creation has a chain effect, and we're experiencing human history, and he may have been towards the beginning, but we, I believe, are towards the end of everything that is coming about. God chose Abraham, and he said, "I'm going to make all the nations blessed through your offspring." Like I said, if we were choosing people, we probably would not have chosen Abram to do this. But God did. God performed a miracle. He allowed his wife to have a child. Their children had children. Their children had children. They became the nation of Israel, God's chosen nation. Remember, there's all the nations of the earth, but God chose Israel to bring about the day of the Lord. Now, God chose Israel for a number of reasons, but one of the main things he did was he introduced the entirety of the law to them. Remember, the law is telling us what is good and evil. The law is telling us the direction that we should go. The law is telling us how we can escape from our sin that we commit by breaking those laws. And Israel was expected to keep those and be a light to the entire world. But Israel did not keep those laws. They did not keep those commandments. And after the temple was built, where all the sacrifices would take place, they were so disobedient that God allowed a foreign nation to come in and take over the temple. That brings us up to speed all the way to the New Testament. You see, after After the last prophet in the Old Testament, Malachi, there's 400 years of silence. So God had created people. He kicked them out of the garden. He flooded the world. He disinherited the nations. He chose a new nation. That nation failed. And so what was God left to do? He loves humanity. He wants to see his original creation, a family in unison with him. So what does God do? He sends a messenger, a prophet. He sends the exact representation of himself in man form. His name was Jesus. And Jesus did what no other person in all of human history could do before or after. He lived his entire life without breaking any of those laws. He didn't sin. He was sinless. Because Jesus lived that sinless life, he was executed on a cross unjustly. It broke the power of the law in our lives whenever we believe in him. You see, those sacrifices from the Old Testament, the animal sacrifices, Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice. We no longer have to pay the penalty for that because Jesus took it on himself. So when we believe that Jesus was who he says he was, that he was the sinless Son of God who walked this earth, who was crucified and was raised from the dead 3 days later, we'll be saved. It's good news. Saved from what? Saved from the law. Saved from the punishment of the law. Because when you break a law, there has to be consequences. But this loop will not go on forever. It has to come to an end. There has to be a finality to it. God is not just going to allow us to continue to suffer and to continue to live these lives. He's going to shape and change us, and that comes in a day. The great day, the day of the Lord. So number two, the prediction of the day of the Lord. See, we talked about creation, we talked about Jesus' role, we talked about the law, but still, there are some people who reject who God is. They reject the message of Jesus. And in that day, all sin will be exposed. All of it will come to justice. God will judge the evil deeds of people. And I want you to think about that for a second. Just pause and think about that. All of human history, all of the sin, all of the brokenness will be judged. The day of the Lord is a phrase mentioned all throughout Scripture that will bring an end to this age and establish God's everlasting kingdom. It's found in many different verses. I'm just going to cover a couple of them here this morning because there's really too many to mention. I'll have a list of them that name it specifically here in a minute. Zephaniah 1:14 says this, "The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastens quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out." You see, you might be thinking at this moment, "Kevin, I don't know if I want the day of the Lord to come." Well, we can't really stop it, but what we can do while we're on this earth is surrender and submit to Jesus and seek his counsel and his will. We can seek out the one who can save us from our sins. And we, this will be the ultimate point of the message, we have a role to play in reaching those who have never heard of Jesus. This day will be a bad day if you don't believe in Jesus. This day will be a bad day for friends or family who don't know the Lord. And so it should be on us to want to reach them with the message of the gospel, with the good news. I see it every day. It's like we're Christians and we love Jesus, but it's like we forget what our mission is here. And whether you're a Christian, this is your first day as a Christian, or you've been a Christian your entire life, the goal is the same. be more like Jesus so that we can reach those who are lost and hurting and broken. We should want people to come to know the Lord. We should be sharing about the Lord. And you may not know much about Scripture if this is your first day, but you still know that Jesus changes lives, and you can share that with people. 1 Thessalonians 5:2, "For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night." Kind of getting back to my end of the world stuff. Nobody knows the day or the hour. We just don't. But Jesus said that we can look for signs. We can know that the day is approaching. We can see the things that are going on. We can keep our head on a swivel, so to speak. We can stay alert, because a thief is not going to come in broad daylight. A thief is going to come in the night whenever we're least expecting it. The day of the Lord is a significant theme in the Bible, particularly in the prophetic books. And here's a list of some of the mentions. You don't have to write all those down. If you want the slide, I can give it to you. This is where it quotes directly the phrase, the day of the Lord. But this isn't a complete list. This is just 12 books that mention it exactly. It talks about the end of the ages in many more books. If you've ever read the book of Daniel, you'll see Daniel is not listed in there, but Daniel talks about the end and the coming judgment. The book of Revelation closely parallels Daniel, and it talks about the end times. And the end times have a lot of different views and opinions and all those different things, but everybody agrees that in the end, the day of the Lord will be coming. Have it from the Old Testament and the New Testament. But I found something that a lot of people may not have spotted. I've been teaching this in my Sunday school class for a long time now. Jesus actually tells you exactly when the day of the Lord will take place. Now, we won't know it, but it'll happen after this event. If we read in Matthew Chapter 24, 3 through 14. This is kind of a long verse, but bear with me. It says, "Now as he, Jesus, sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be? When will the end come? When will the day of the Lord be here? And what is the sign of your coming? And at the end of the age,' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars.'" Does that sound familiar? Wars and rumors of wars. "See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for not my name's sake." Remember whenever I said the nations were disinherited? All those other nations will rise up against us. "And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." Great falling away before the end happens. "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." Now here's the key part of this. This is crucial. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations." And then what? "Then the end will come." See, no man knows the day or the hour. We can see the signs. We can see the seasons. But what allows the day of the Lord to take place is when all of the nations are reached with the gospel of Jesus. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the implications of that. How many people do you think are left in this world who have never heard the gospel of Jesus? There's literally billions of Christians on the planet today. Imagine if every single Christian on the planet decided to go where God sent them, whether it's right here in this town, whether it's across the world to a foreign nation, whether it's across the world to a war zone nation, a hostile nation. What if every single Christian on the planet decided that they were going to share the gospel in the next couple weeks? Jesus could come back immediately after that. We won't know when the last person is reached. But that's what has to take place for the great and glorious day of the Lord to come. Now, that should give us a little bit of motivation. That should get us to be thinking about being a light and being a witness to others. And this concept, this will be point number three, is known as the fullness of the Gentiles. The fullness of the Gentiles. You see, a Gentile is anybody who is not a Jewish person. And the Gentiles, that's you and me, I don't know if any of you are Jewish in here, but all those who are not born of the nation of Israel, we are Gentiles. And God allowed his Son to die on the cross, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles. And he is wanting to reach all the nations so that he can restore what we had in the garden. That family, that unity. Romans 11, 25 through 27. For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. It's talking about the end times, about how Israel fell away and how the Gentiles are bringing Israel back into the fold. It's a mystery, but the Apostle Paul is going to let us know. That you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion. That blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come out of Zion, and he will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. You see, the book of Romans is attaching this fullness of the Gentiles, this reaching of all the nations to the end times, whenever all of Israel will be saved. Which brings us to our final point, and really the main point of what we're getting at today. It's LifeWord Sunday. We have Kairos Prison Ministry here. They're witnessing to lost prisoners. I've already mentioned whether this is your first day or you've been a Christian your entire life, church should be a place to go to be restored, to be healed. All those things are good, but ultimately our role as a church is to bring the gospel to anybody that we come into contact with. Our lives should be a light into this world. And we should be actively witnessing to non-believers. Like I said, it could be your first day as a Christian. You may not know what to say. All you have to say is your testimony. My life was a wreck. Jesus saved me. I haven't figured everything out, but I want that for you as well. I want you to be a part of the kingdom of God. In fact, it's not really an option. It's not a suggestion. It's not a recommendation. It's a commission. It's a commandment. God commands us to go out. So our last verse is the Great Commission. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." Now, you may have never read it like this before, but look at the wording that it uses. All the nations. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. If you've been paying attention and following this sermon, you'll see that God's plan and the end times are very simple. God wants to reach as many people as possible. God could do it all by himself, but he chooses to work with us, and he chooses to have us go out and reach the people for himself. And whenever we're making disciples and they're making disciples and all people groups get discipled, then the great and the glorious day of the Lord will come. Now, if that's concerning to you, then allow that to be motivation for reaching people. If that's concerning for you, maybe we need to get back to our roots of the gospel and see that it is a good thing. We should desire, we should encourage one another with the Lord's return. We should be looking forward to his return. We should be sticking close to him because times are going to get rough. Times are going to get very difficult. But whenever we have Jesus on our side, working through us, then it should focus us. You see, we can get lost in the details of our lives. We can get lost in the details of the church, making sure bulletins are just right, or making sure the lighting's just right, or making sure the music's on point and the sermon is just perfect. But ultimately, all these things should be leading us to witness to other people. It's not a suggestion, it's the commission of Jesus Christ to us. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. And that's what everything in our church is geared around. Everything. We don't have any sort of ulterior motive. We're not here to, make a living off of all of this or to try to twist and manipulate you in any way. We know that Jesus died for our sins, and without Jesus, we're lost and hurting and broken. And we want as many people to come to know him as possible. That's the role of the church. That's what we want for you. And that's what we want for as many people as possible. So I want to pray. And then Tom has a message about the youth auction that's coming up. And so if you would, please bow your heads. And I just want you to consider this message. Are you worried about this? Are you concerned with the coming of the day of the Lord? We should all be concerned with it. We should all be focused on it. We should all be looking forward to it. But it should also drive us to want to reach the lost and the broken and the hurting. Just like LifeWord is trying to do, just like Kairos Prison Ministry is trying to do, just like Pastor Jim tries to do by shepherding this church, just like I do with our youth, trying to get them to come into a relationship with Jesus. So many times we focus on all of the wrong things. We make excuses. I haven't been a Christian long enough. I don't know enough about the Bible. Well, I can't just leave and go somewhere. Well, God doesn't necessarily call all of us to leave. Who's going to witness to the people in our lives? Maybe church has become a sort of country club for you. Maybe you feel like you come here and you soak up all the information and it makes you feel good, but if you don't do anything about it, if you don't apply it to your life, then what is the purpose of this? What are we doing here each and every Sunday? Rather, we should have a laser beam focus on the mission and task at hand to reach lost people. Father, I pray that our focus would be to reach all the lost and hurting of this world. I pray, Father, that if you have a specific mission on the heart and the minds of anybody in this room, that, Lord, you would give them strength, that you would confirm that in them through the Holy Spirit, that they wouldn't do it on their own power or their own strength or their own words, but Lord, that they would rely on you for each and every breath that they take, for each and every word that comes out of their mouth, that they would rely on you and your Holy Spirit to lead and guide them. Father, I pray that if somebody is being sent out, Lord, watch over them, protect them. But Lord, I pray that you would just remind us that even if we're not being sent out of our town, our country, our state, Lord, we still have a responsibility right here to witness to those in our lives whom you've placed in our care, whom you have called on us to be a light into their lives. Lord, whether it's going to school or going to work every day, there's people who need to hear about the gospel of Jesus. So, Father, give us strength, give us power, give us wisdom on how to do that. And Lord, watch over and protect this church, because as we reach the lost and the broken and the hurting, Lord, we know that Satan does not want that, and he will begin to attack. So, Father, we pray for your protection. In the precious name of Jesus that we pray.